All right. And let's hand it off to you, Franco.
Awesome. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. We're going to start with intros, and I'm just going to start calling people. I'll say up here on my screen. So the first person that I see is Steven.
Hey y'all, Steven Spano, AIDS Legal Referral Panel.
All right. And Kira.
Kira, Council Staff.
Right. And I see Nikos.
UCSF case manager.
Awesome. And Kat.
At Council Staff.
Thank you, Mark.
Mark Moore, Council Staff.
And then Beth.
Beth Neary, HIV Health Services.
Right, and then Natalie.
Natalie, HIV Health Services.
And then Derek.
Derek Mapp, staff, sorry, council member.
Awesome, and Lee.
I'll lead your council member.
Awesome, and Franco, also member. Cool. Well, thank you everyone for introducing yourselves. And now we are moving on to action item number two, which is to review and approve the November 5th, 2025 draft agenda.
All right. So here's the draft agenda for today. We can just go ahead and review it. We won't be able to approve since we don't have quorum, unfortunately. But it should be a pretty short meeting. We have Stephen's HCAP report and then a new assessment COLA update, as well as discussing whether folks would like to meet in December at the very end.
So we'll have to move the approval until next meeting then.
Yes.
Okay, sounds good. Any comments on the agenda before we move on to item number three? All right. And then I guess item number three will be to review October 1st minutes from the last meeting, but I guess we'll move that the approval piece until next meeting, but does anybody have any comments about the minutes from last meeting? All right, seeing that there's none, we will then go to announcements.
I have a couple of announcements. In the next handful of weeks, I'll be putting together a couple of events that's should be of interest. One is a webinar with a group of community advocates around aging HIV, gay men, sex and sexuality. And I'll send that announcement out as soon as I confirm the date. I think it will be either mid-November, which is a couple of weeks, unfortunately, or early December. And the other one is another early December event, which will be looking at raising awareness about HIV long-term non-progressors. And it'll be a meeting with Dr. Deeks. I think the location may be the LGBT Center, but I will confirm that in hopefully by the end of next week. So I just wanted to raise that announcement, those two announcements.
Awesome. Thank you, Derek. Any other announcements?
Can I ask Mark if, I'm sorry, Nicholas is up.
You can go.
Okay, I was just gonna ask Mark if the date has been confirmed for the HIV and Aging Summit in February, if that's
Yes, it
shareable.
has. Yes, it has. I do think Nico will be speaking during public comment, if that's right, rather than announcements. I just wanted to mention that. And Derek, if you can confirm that, I do think it was the first weekend in February, but please help me.
Yes, it'll be February 6th and 7th. which is Friday and Saturday. Both of them are all-day events, something around beginning around 9 o'clock and ending somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 or 5 o'clock. And it'll be at the AIDS Foundation on Howard Street.
All right. Thank you. Any other announcements before we move on to a public comment? All right. So public comments, Nichols, we saw your hand raised.
I guess I just was gonna kind of announce, like, I had a few people messaging me, like, where's your petition? Just relating to, for I'm not sure if everyone here knows, but the mayor's office did not approve my appointment to the HIV Planning Council. And so I just wanted to update folks, and maybe I should send an email too so other people know, but also kind of like get your thoughts and feedback. So Laura Thomas was very invested in this, and she spoke with Andy Stone and Justice Dumlau from the HIV Advocacy Network in detail about it. Justice and I had a meeting yesterday, and basically they Han is like totally down to like take this on as an action and support. So I put a hold on my personal petition because we kind of built like an escalatory plan. And I'll just say the plan really quick. It's just like 3 steps. So the first step, so Laura had introduced or wanted it to be an agenda item for the November general meeting. So hopefully we can. This, I'm sorry, I just had like the most hectic. I was moving a client in the rain. It was a lot, and then I sprinted here. So hopefully we can discuss at that council meeting like what the council is comfortable with and or like what the actual restrictions are with what council members can officially do versus informally. But we're hoping to request that the mayor's office present to the council and give a reason to the council why they decided to not move forward with my appointment, just to kind of have it on the books and get an explanation. That's the first step. Our assumption is probably that they'll just decline. And so the second step would then be Han would launch their own petition, and that petition would not only could people sign, but then it would send automatic emails to the mayor. So we're hoping to just like bombard him with emails suggesting that they reverse their decision. And then hopefully that would be enough. And they'll just be like, okay, let's just like, whatever, we'll do this. The third step, if that isn't enough, is we have like a media strategy, and we'll have some articles written and, make a big fuss. Hopefully in a few weeks of the general meeting, we can discuss this. And yeah, hopefully, I don't want to, I said this to Mark, but like, I don't want this to like consume too much of the council's energy or time. And I also like putting my own like self aside, my own interest in this. Like, I do feel like it's important to like set a precedent. And Laura really was keen on like having the kind of like, I guess putting the mayor in his place a little bit. So that's that. If anyone has any thoughts, feel free to share. Otherwise, yeah, we can just discuss at the general meeting more.
Okay, any comments or any additional comments or any thoughts around what Nikos just presented to us? All right. Go ahead, Derek, sorry.
I just think it'd be kind of interesting to know a little bit more history around the refusal. I kind of agree that it always feels a little weird to not get feedback around if you're going to not accept someone, you know, why, from the mayor's office or even from the council. Like, I think we give some reason, but it'd be kind of interesting to get a little bit more history around, you know, how many appointments ever get just rejected offhand, as opposed to much more of what I often hear about, which is this sort of silent nothing, and just sort of hold. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, personally, I had shared similar concerns as to like why no explanation. And I know Mark had explained to me that seems like this has been sort of like the historical, I guess, like premises of this. But it's interesting that there is no explanation. So I'm glad that at least there's some movement on that to try to demand at least an explanation, because I think it's the right thing to do for sure. Just in general. Any other public comments or any other comments around the subject matter? All right. So I see that two other, oh, I see a hand raised, Thomas.
Sorry, again, I cannot figure out what's going on with my camera at all. I just wanted to acknowledge Nikos and hear what you said, and thank you for being here. And unprecedented space for me as a council member and moving forward with this. So that's all. I just didn't want you to come into the space and be like, "How do I do something?" Or you know what I mean. So I didn't want to sit silently by, but maybe that's a better way of saying it, while you were sharing what you were sharing. So thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Thomas. So before we move on, I just wanted to acknowledge the people that just joined the meeting so they can also introduce themselves. See TJ.
Hi, TJ Lee Miyake, committee member. And I'm the Comcast is working in my building, so the Wi-Fi has been off and on all day, so I might get dropped off, but I'll come back as soon as I can.
Awesome. Thanks, TJ. And then Thomas.
Thomas Noble, they, them pronouns, government co-chair.
Awesome. Thank you. So next we can move on to the HCAB report from Stephen.
Franco, can we take a second really quickly? Sorry about that. We can actually go back to the agenda and minutes now for approval since we do have quorum now.
Beautiful. All right. So please scratch what I just said. Let's go back to item number two and re-review the draft agenda and approve if we can, please.
Apparently, there's an AT&T store right around the corner, honey.
Wow.
Right, so we can just approve by consensus, right? Here, I have no objections. So, any objections to approving the November draft agenda? Right, if none, approved. And with that, I think the next one is to review and approve the October 1st, 2025 draft minutes. And are there any objections to approving these minutes? Going once, going twice, and if none, then approved by consensus. All right, thank you all. So I guess with that, then we can move to item number six, which is the HCAB report. So Stephen, feel free to take it away now.
Thank you so much. Hello, everyone. So as per the usual, I will go ahead and highlight a few cases that I think are particularly relevant to this subcommittee, and then I will, of course, remain available to answer any questions or elaborate on anything that people would like. The first that I'd like to go over is on the first page. The reason I'm bringing this up because it's and this is a 2025-76. The reason I'm bringing this up is because I just would like people to know a little bit about the time frame that we are working in. I recently received a notification from a housing provider or a housing subsidy provider that my client was next on the wait list. This is a client that I first referred in 2023. The client is now connected to another subsidy, and so and that subsidy is actually a more beneficial subsidy for them to be on, so they won't be moving over. But just so folks know, this is the speed at which we're moving when it comes to getting folks housed with, a subsidy in place. The next is on page two. This is 2566. I think I've talked a little bit about emergency financial assistance with regard to utilities. This is only somewhat related. So I obviously don't speak about service providers, but I don't think Xfinity counts. Large conglomerates are not protected by public comment. Basically, the client's cell phone was shut off, and they needed emergency fin to access emergency financial assistance to get their bill paid. I was informed by the EFA service provider that other clients had, we successfully can, got them connected, but when it came to actually getting the bill paid, the service provider informed me that other clients' bills were getting kicked back, and their checks were getting sent back. So so basically Comcast or Xfinity Mobile wasn't accepting the payments. We did come up with a workaround, and this is a workaround we have come up with for other items before, including so basically what it was I AORP fronted the cost and is billing. It's a challenge for me, right? I don't mind doing that, but from an advocacy perspective, there's kind of twofold. One, I don't know why. First of all, the EFA doesn't have the ability to do electronic payments, and I'm not quite sure what that is. I'm still trying to unpack that a little bit more. But why it would be easier for a totally disconnected agency like, a legal service agency to do an electronic payment and then bill to get a check paid, than for an organization tasked with getting the bill paid. I don't understand that. But more importantly, it's concerning for me that, Xfinity Mobile might be discriminating on the basis of income. And so the next plan here is to submit the client's bill for the next month, when it's not in such an emergent, issue, and hopefully get some response back from Xfinity Mobile as to why these checks are being de denied or sent back, and why the clients are not, getting to access those services. So, just the beginning of the advocacy process. The first was making sure the client could get in contact with their doctor. So that has been completed. That is the small success story of it all, but we're still at the beginning of the advocacy stage. The last is I will just mention a success story on the and I apologize, I don't know why it's misplaced on the document. It's not it, this case is closed, but it's on page five, which is the last page, 2025-46. This is a client who has, and some folks might recall this from previous years. This is a client that I supported. Their disability makes it very difficult for them to be responsive and show up for themselves. They've had trouble completing the recertification process for two reasons. One, because of their disability, and two, because their circumstances are different than a normal, what our typical clientele looks like. This is a client who has a child, who is of transitional age, and it presents some unique issues for the service provider that funds this subsidy. And so in previous, it can be in a very activating thing for the client, but I also understand it poses some challenges for the service provider. So in previous years, the workaround has been we've had the client's medical case manager. The kind of the result of our last mediation was that the client's medical case manager would support in the process and utilize me for any advocacy that needed to be done. And that seemed to work pretty well until this year when There were some, again, changes to the client's family dynamic, and the client's case manager was out on leave. And so I wound up stepping in and supporting in a way that I don't normally do, but it was important to get this client's rent paid. They wound up, by the time we were far along enough along in the process, they were about 3 months behind. So we were able to get the back rent. We were able to get the recertification completed. Back rent was paid. As far as I know, the client's rent has been remitted. And of course, I'll remain available to support. But I want to raise this just because it is here we're talking about legal services, HCAP, there's case management services, there's an HIV housing subsidy provider. It really, it can take a lot to make sure a client gets what they need. And the collaborative aspect of this job is particularly important to me. So I want to raise that up and just lift up all the service providers that showed up for this person. And with that, I'll just make myself available to, answer questions.
Thank you, Stephen. Does anyone have any questions for Stephen or comments? Right. Seeing that there are none, then we would move forward then with the next agenda item, which is the needs assessment and COLA update.
Yeah, we can take that. Thank you, Stephen. I just want to say really quick, thank you, Stephen. You always work really hard on those reports, so we really appreciate it.
Thank you.
As for the needs assessment, we did approve the needs assessment target for next year. So that's very exciting because that means we can get started right away on working on surveying, outreaching, and recruiting come the new year. So that's really exciting. And that target is people living with HIV who also have immigrant experience. And then we also voted last month on the COLA target. And so we voted actually on two last month. And after talking with Mark, we decided that we would have the COLA target, which was cis women living with or at risk for HIV, be this year's COLA target. So we're working towards getting that done by the end of the year. And then having the second COLA target, which is people who inject drugs, living with and at risk for HIV, be next year's COLA target. And that is what I have to report back. So we're working on that first COLA target currently. Any questions about that?
Am I allowed to ask a question? Okay. Can you just repeat what was the thing for next year that you said?
So the COLA target or the needs assessment? I can repeat both.
The COLA target.
Okay. The COLA target for next year is people who inject drugs who are living with and at risk for HIV.
I think the key might be at risk for, because this means that the COLA can be quite wide open, unlike our needs assessment.
Well, I know I'm glad that we're able to do both, just because I know that we had a pretty rich discussion the last time about which one to prioritize. And I think in the end, we all wanted to at least make sure that both groups were included. So thank you for discussing it and for moving forward with that, and also for the work that goes into getting those done as well. Any questions on the needs assessment or COLA updates?
If anything, hi. When you do the piece around injection drug users, it'll be really great to also have it an open end on age. I think there's been a lot
Course.
of information about older HIVers in particular in that category that I think has not been as delineated out, so it'll be nice to sort of capture that information, what that information might look like.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think there's any age limitations, right, for any of the
No age
triggers? Okay.
limitations
All right, cool.
for either of the COLA targets.
Awesome. Perfect. Thanks. All right. If no other questions, then we will move on to next meeting date and agenda items.
All right. So per tradition, none of the subcommittees, including full council actually, typically meet in December. That is, of course, up to each committee to decide. And then, of course, if each committee decides that they do not want to meet, then we won't have a full council meeting. And CAT will, after those votes, CAT will send out a cancellation meeting notice so folks know. So now it's up to this group to decide whether they would like to meet in December or per tradition, forego meeting in December and then meet in January.
I'm all about upholding tradition.
Lee speaks. Wow. Okay. Glad you're here.
Lee, what about like innovation and being cutting edge?
Oh, screw that. Screw it. Tradition rules everything.
Especially in December, traditions are everything, Thomas.
I pick and choose my traditions, though.
There you
Uh,
go.
yeah, I'm fine with not meeting in December myself.
All right. Is there anyone that strongly feels for meeting in December? I hear no one.
So I guess it is approved by consensus then, right?
Yes. So that does mean that our next meeting date then will be January 7th.
All right.
Oh,
Sweet.
go ahead, Stephen.
Sorry, I was going to ask, would it be okay with folks then if I submitted a report in January for both November and December? Is that okay to do a combined report for the last month?
Mark is nodding his head.
All right, cool. And Beth, is DPH okay with that as well?
Yes, very much so. Just reach out if you have anything more timely that you need to talk with us about.
Awesome. Thank you.
Sweet. Well, that basically concludes our meeting, everyone. Thank you all for being here.
See you at the end of the month.
Great. Thank you
Kat,
all. Good seeing you,
Kat and
Nikos.
Kira, can you stay on?